Good morning, everyone. Good morning, everyone. In the past couple of weeks, we talk about how God can use the weakest and least to accomplish the will of God, and how God turned unimportant and outcasts into heroes. All these people, they grab hold of the moment and take a step of faith and brought a pleasant surprise in God's salvation stories. In the first sermon, Pastor Wilbur used Star Wars movie to talk about Gideon. Luke Skywalker, a farm boy, a nobody, called to become a Jedi to fight against the Emperor. And Gideon, also a farm boy, come from the weakest clan and is the least in the family, young at age, weak in faith, inexperienced in battle, low self-esteem, and no credibility. But God calls him, called this nobody to become the leader of Israel, and he takes the chance and take one baby step of faith at a time, and God leads him to achieve something that he never can dream of. The key is the Spirit of the Lord is with Gideon to make him strong, and the rest is history. And last week, we used the movie, we talked about Matrix. Leo, the main character, the story, trapped inside a computer-simulated world called the Matrix. Morpheus believes Leo is the one who will defeat the machine world and liberate mankind from Matrix. Is Leo really the one? Leo not sure. Morpheus offers Leo a chance to see it for himself, to be or not to be, and that is the questions that he needs to answer. And Neo took the chance and took the red pills and get pulled out from the machine world and be the one. Rahab at the same time grabbed her chance, and in split seconds, Rahab gathered her strength. She picked the red pill also, banking everything on the Yahweh, the God of Israel. And she believed the God of Israel is stronger than the walls of Jericho. Faith is putting belief into actions. From Abraham, the father of faith, to Rahab, the prostitute, it doesn't matter who you are. From the greatest and the least, the principle of faith is the same. Faith is putting belief into actions. Rahab, the prostitute, is putting belief into actions, and in that process, Rahab and her father's household and all who belongs to Rahab is redeemed, saved, and delivered. And today, we're going to talk about yet another great God's great salvation story. When nobody was able and unwilling to do something, this one sidekick step up and things change upside down. But before we go on into details, let me share with you one of the movies I recently watched, The Big Hero 6. Have you ever watched a movie? Nice one. Big movie, Big Hero 6 is a critical acclaimed Disney animated movie and won several awards in 2014. Hiro Hamada is a 14-year-old robotic genius living in the futuristic city called San Francisco, who spent much of his free time participating in illegal bot fights. His older brother, Tatashi, worried that Hiro doesn't really wasting his talent and potential. So he took Hiro to his research lab. There, Hiro met Tatashi's friends and as well as Baymax, a personal healthcare robot that Tatashi created. At the same time, Hiro met Professor Robert Cunningham, the head of the robotic program. Hiro is very amazed. He's so amazed by the innovation, and he decided to apply for the university. To enroll, he signed up for the school's science fair, and with the help from Tatashi and his friends, he wrote, invents Michael boards, a small miniature robot that he can control using a neocanial transmitter. Neocanial transmitter, kind of like using his brainwave to control the robot. Cunningham is very impressed and by the inventions and an all-hero chance to go into the school. As they leave the exhibition, as they leave to celebrate the good news, a fire all of a sudden breaks out. And Tatashi rush in to rescue Cunningham. But the building explodes, and Tatashi die at that moment. And weeks later, a depressed hero accidentally activate Baymax and discover that someone has been mass-producing Hero's Michael board. So they try to further investigate, try to find out what's going on. While they're doing it, they were attacked by a man wearing a mask. Hero, Baymax, and his friends tried to track him down, and finally be able to get him, and they believe this masked man is the bad guy who leads to the death of Tatashi. So they find him, they're able to track him down, a fight breaks out, and Hero and his friends be able to subdue the masked man and knock off his mask. And wow, they discover this.
It's over, Cray. Professor Callahan? The explosion. You died.
No. I had your microbots.
But Tadashi, you just let him die.
Give me the mask, Hero.
He went in there to save you.
That was his mistake.
Baymax, destroy.
My programming prevents me from injuring a human being.
Not anymore.
Hero, this is not what...
Do it, Baymax! Destroy him!
No! No, Baymax!
No, stop! He's getting away!
My healthcare protocol has been violated. I regret any distress I may have caused.
How could you do that? I had him!
What you just did, we never signed up for.
We said we'd catch the guy. That's it.
I never should have let you help me. Baymax, find Callahan.
My enhanced scanner has been damaged.
Wings!
Hero, this isn't part of the plan.
Fly!
Hero and his friends eventually be able to get that masked man. But they find out that that is Professor Cunningham. A heartbroken Hero reveals that Tatashi died trying to save you, Cunningham. But Cunningham responds by blaming Tatashi for his own death. Realizing Tatashi died for nothing, Hero was so angry. He orders Baymax to kill, but in the midst of the chaos, Gollingham managed to escape. Hero leave with Baymax with so much pain, anger in him. You can feel his pain, don't you? Have you ever lost someone that's important to you? How can someone like him be able to withstand? Is he able to withstand the anger? Are you able to overcome the anger at that moment? Will it make you upset when you see someone that hurting you and your family at that very moment? Can you control the anger? In just a split seconds, Hero, from a very calm young boy, become furious. Have you ever, or people around you, been in such a disappointing, stressful, or even outrageous situations? And you can sense that these negative feelings and emotions spread, escalate, and grow out of proportion to the point that is almost unstoppable. I want to share with you today a similar story in 1 Samuel. It happens to a person that you would never think that will happen to him. Is it really him? Yes, David, son of Jesse, the future king of Israel. So in 1 Samuel, you know that unlike Saul, who became king of Israel soon after Samuel, the prophet, anointed him, David has a very long and difficult time preparations to become before his command as king. His first public success come in slaying the giant Goliath, who is threatening Israel at that time. And as the army returned home, a group of women began to singing, "Saul killed his thousands, and David his 10,000s." And out of nowhere, Saul was very angry. But it is ridiculous. Don't you think it's ridiculous? These two simple lines of praise enrage Saul, and Saul tried to get rid of David and eventually forced David to flee for his life and wandering in the wilderness for years. And in fact, David's time in the wilderness has not been great as well. 1 Samuel 23. At one point, David saved the city of Keilah. But the men of Keilah are shockingly considered to surrender David to Saul just days after David rescued them from the hands of the Philistines. He was betrayed by Saul before, and now again by the people he saved. David must have wondered, what's going on? I save you people, yet you people try to giving me up and giving me away to Saul. But at the end of the day, David bites the lips, and his man tried to depart, arose and departed before the people of Keilah surrender him, and they continue to run for their life in the wilderness without a home for a long time, and it seems like forever, running. From a giant killer, king's most favorite person, a man who has already been chosen to be next king of Israel and now become the most wanted criminal in the country, constantly in distress, get insult, betrayal, and you can imagine how much burden David must have been loaded on his shoulder. And make matter worse, Samuel, the kingmaker, the prophet, who anointed David, just died. And making the promises of God, bringing the promise of God even more remote. Remember this, David is still not the king of Israel yet. He's anxiously waiting, but he's not there yet. And all these happened to David, and it set up the stage of the story we are about to explore in 1 Samuel 25. One day, And this happened. David and his men encamped in Nabal's area. They're there for some time for now. While Nabal is a very wealthy man, he has 3,000 ships and 1,000 goats. David and his men, while they were in the run, had done some good work in the wilderness. They found ways to protect others from dangers. And in fact, it's ship shearing time, which usually they have parties around the area, and most of the time, the banquet table were loaded with food and drink. David was in the neighborhood, so it's so natural to ask a neighbor for some food and drinks, so it's very normal. So David sent 10 of his young men to ask Nabal for favor and donate something for them. Imagine, David and his men has been protecting these shepherds for some time. And as a matter of fact, they did a superb job and were at war to them, both by night and day. I'm quite confident and sure David and his men would have no doubt in their mind that they would be able to get something from Nabal in return. But while Nabal heard the request, I could not believe this would have been his response. Who is David? Who is the son of Jesse? There are many servants these days who are breaking away from the master. Nabal not only refused to give something to David, but also insulted David and his family publicly, questioning David's integrities, and Nabal act as if he never heard of David before. And at that very moment, David lost his temper. He cannot keep his composure anymore. To say David is just angry, furious, would be putting it mildly. David, I'm telling you, it's about to commit a mass murder. He immediately ordered 400 men to prepare for battle. He's not just angry. He wants to kill someone. He sent 400 armed soldiers and prepared for battle. And David said, if by morning I leave so much as one male of all who belong to him, may God do so to the enemies of David. The negativity spread, escalate, go out of proportion. 400 armed soldiers are ready to roll. And can you imagine what could be the possible outcome of this mess? What could it be? Preventing the murders of hundreds of innocent lives by David and his people appear to be impossible. It's just impossible. They're ready to row. They're ready to kill. But what if now I'm telling you, there's no battle. There's no killing. There's no mass murder. Instead, there's only a fest among the people to celebrate the joy of salvation. What if I'm telling you this would happen? Would you imagine that would be the outcome? Not possible? Do you think I'm joking to you? When nobody was able and unwilling to do something, there's one person who is willing to step up and turn things around. Who's that person? Abigail, an armless woman, stepped up at that very moment. But let me ask, how can Abigail be able to turn things around? How can she did it? These are some of my observations, okay? Number one, Abigail stepped it up and does the right thing. who is supposed, actually, Nabal, supposedly, her husband, her supposedly should be the one who deal with this mess. But you get the idea. He's not able to do it, and he's not going to do it. So Abigail step up and flow into action. He just stepped in right away. And first things first, what she did is David and his man protect Nabal's shepherds very well, and being a wall, shielding them day and night. So Abigail does the right thing first to compensate his protectors, to rescue the situation. So Abigail quickly gather foods and prepare feasts as a gift to David, and send right away to David and his men. She tries to fulfill the immediate needs right away. And with the gift, Abigail also affirm her loyalty to David. That's very important. And without any more delay, once the donkey are loaded, she sent off the gift to David, and hopefully the gift can sweeten the situation a little bit and pave way for her. Number two, Abigail set up the right tone and atmosphere. Once the gift is sent, Abigail follows and rides out to meet David. To be fair and honest with you, it would be very easy and even understandable for Abigail to have met David on the road and said something like this: "David, please, please don't hold anything against me. I've bought you food and supplies. For you and for your people, please, please spare my life." But no, this is not what Abigail is doing. Instead of just saving herself and adding to the negativities of the situation, Abigail humbled herself and wisely turned the atmosphere around. Look, when she met David, recognizing who David is, Abigail immediately got down from her donkey, fell on her knees, and as you may notice, Abigail referred David as my Lord 15 times. Notice the approach. On me alone, my Lord, be the guilt. On me alone, my Lord, be the guilt. My Lord, be the guilt. On me. Abigail asked for the blame to be hers and apologized for her husband's foolishness in an attempt to save innocent life. Number three, Abigail also desperately asked David if he could listen to her pledge for mercy and bring peace to the situation. "Please, let your servant speak in your ears and hear the words of your servant." What Abigail is trying to do is to ask for a chance to bring peace into the situation. I'm telling you, this is a really tall order. When 400 armed soldiers marching towards you, and they take so much courage to answer the bell. But why Abigail would be willing to step up when nobody's willing to do it? Why? Why she was going to do it? Why? I believe firmly because Abigail saw something that other people did not see. God promises to David will one day come true. 1 Samuel 25:28-29. "For the Lord will certainly make my Lord a sure house, because my Lord is fighting the battles of the Lord, and the evil shall not be found in you as long as you live." Abigail believes that one day God's promise will fulfill in David. And he reminds David God's promises. He reminds David that David has been appointed to fight for God's battles, not his own war against foolish people like Nabal. And also, she also reminds that if men rise up to pursue you and seek your life, the lives of your enemies shall be no more. David doesn't have to avenge every single insult that he has. God will do it for him. And thirdly, Abigail also reminds David that the Lord will surely raise up David once David to be the kings of Israel. So remember, look, when David becomes kings of Israel, he would not want any senseless slaughter on his record. He reminds him all these things. Abigail firmly believed the promise of God will fulfill in David. That's for sure. That is for sure.
Your blood pressure is elevated. You appear to be distressed.
I'm fine. There, is it working?
My sensor is operational.
Good. Then let's get... What?
Are you going to remove my healthcare chip?
Yes. Open!
My purpose is to heal the sick and injured.
Baymax, open your access port.
Do you want me to terminate Professor Callahan?
Just open!
Will terminating Professor Callahan improve your emotional state?
Yes! No! I don't know! Open your access!
Is this what Tadashi wanted?
It doesn't matter!
Tadashi programmed me to aid
him. Tadashi's gone! Tadashi's gone.
Tadashi is here.
No, he's not here.
Tadashi is here.
This is Tadashi Hamada.
And this is the first test of my robotics project.
Hello, I am Baymax.
Stop! The seventh test of my robotics project.
Hello, I am
Wait, stop scan! Tadashi Hamada again, and this is the 33rd test of my robotics project. I'm not giving up on you. You don't understand this yet, but people need you. So let's get back to work. This is Tadashi Hamada, and this is the 84th test. What do you say, big guy?
Hello, I am Baymax, your personal healthcare companion.
It works. It works! Oh, this is amazing! You work! I knew it! You work! I can't believe it! Okay, all right, big moment here. Scan me.
Your neurotransmitter levels are elevated. This indicates that you are happy.
I am. I really am. Oh, man. Wait till my brother sees you. You're gonna help so many people, buddy. So many. That's all for now. I am satisfied with my care.
Baymax stepped it up in the process and asked Hero tough questions. Will terminating Professor Cunningham improve your emotional status? Then Baymax played the video recordings of Tadashi doing Baymax recording development. And finally realized the real calling for Tadashi to create Baymax is to help and is to heal many more people, not to kill or revenge. And that is the moment Hero finally get back to his senses and reconciliate with his friends. You can sense that resonance. And it is not the gifts of Abigail's that ease off David's anger. It is her reminder of David's true identity and calling that makes David coming back to his senses. And you know, even superheroes need encouragement and reminders. God did not send a mighty warrior and his army to save. God did not send his heavenly beings to David to advise. And God did not appear in a dream or vision to warn David against his action. And God did not speak to David directly. So how can God keep David out of trouble and safe? How can he do it? God used a remarkable psychic, Abigail, an armless woman who is willing to step up and let God use her, and she becomes a channel of blessings to many others. Not only Abigail saved hundreds of innocent people, but she also saved David and gave him a boost in faith. That's no battle. That's no killing. That's no mass murder. Instead, there's a feast among the people to celebrate the joy of salvation. And when nobody was able and unwilling to do something, Abigail stepped up and become a channel of blessings to others. I'm very sure, in the past, some of you may have seen negativity spread, then turns something good in a lose-lose situation in the end. And you hope that an influential person would step up, but sadly, no one ever did. You may have hope the situations will be able to resolve by itself when the people involved cool down and act maturely and rationally. But no, they didn't. So what have you do? What have you done? What have you done? When you see a problem arise, a crisis looms, tension escalate and start to grow out of proportion, what will you do now? Are you willing to step up, brothers and sisters? If the Lord can use an armless woman, Abigail, to counter 400 armed soldiers and save David and many innocents' life, the Lord will be able to use you to become a channel of blessings and God's vessels of salvation. Church, you just need to step up. Are you going to answer the call? Are you willing? Are you willing to step up and bring His word of promise and also blessings to the people in need? Are you willing to step up? Don't waste your life, church. Don't let opportunity pass you by. You can be that person. Let your life count. May the Spirit lead you to where you should be.